Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Eli! Wait, what the hell, Eli? This ain't hit and run?
I love the my man, but I was trying to get to Ranji.
All right, that's a good point. Get to him.
Who would want to play in St. Louis? So boring.
Yeah.
So right? Boring. So I always boring. Get asked, like, where do you like to play? Where do you not like to play? And, ooh, St. Louis is on the place I don't like to play.
Yeah. It is. Eckerman.
That was Chris Bryant at Cubs convention on Ryan Dempster's quasi talk show thing that he does every year. Did he do the Harry Carey thing? Because he always does the Harry Carey thing. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. We are talking a whole bunch of stuff. Been talking a little bit of Bears to start things off. I make no excuses or apologies about the fact that I love Chris Ranji like a brother. He's one of my favorite people, period. Paragraph. Since leaving the Score, he has gone on to dominate the St. Louis sports talk scene. He's the man down there. He knows it, but he knew that before he left here. He hosts a 101 Fast Lane down there with a couple other dudes. He's kind of the star, but you knew that already. And now Chris Ranji joins me here on the Score. Hello,
what's
friend.
What's up, dude? What? What?
How are you?
Oh, I feel great. How are you, pal?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, Mel left town. She's kicking it on the beach in San Diego.
Oh, hey, that's a nice break for you, huh?
I know. It really is. It really is.
Hey, so, Mel, get lost. How long's your vacation? When is she coming back?
I don't know. I think she gets back like Monday or something.
Hey, I'll tell you what. When's your birthday, Lawrence?
It's in June.
All right, so early birthday gift. I'll pay to extend it till Wednesday for you. How
yeah,
about that?
That's what I'm talking to. I actually said, you're not coming back, are you? Because, you know, she loves the beach and the water. It's like 70 degrees in San Diego right now. And I said to her, I said, tomorrow I think it's going to be four. Like, just four degrees here in Chicago before wind chill.
Yeah, you could deal with that. It's better than I was just watching Castaway. It's on TV right now on AMC, and she could be in that situation, you know?
She could be. Have you seen the Netflix doc on the Fire Festival yet?
No, I heard about it. I might watch it tonight, actually.
You need to check it out, man. It's really good, and 50 Cent was right the whole time about Ja Rule.
I'm excited now.
It's so good, and the guy that put this thing together has the greatest punch me face that I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was. He's a fraud, right?
Yes, he's a convicted fraud. but you got to, when you see it, I want you to text me your thoughts on it because I think
I can't wait.
We stayed up late last night watching it, and I'm just sitting there going, I couldn't believe that so many people were like, yeah, let's go down there. And I couldn't believe the level of fraud and malfeasance that went on in this thing.
It's amazing. Like, and I've heard that it's worse than what you've heard. Like, you know what I mean? The documentary makes it show. It shows that the whole situation was far worse than you were told. So I'm looking forward to it.
Good. I'm glad. How's the winter going for you? Do the Cardinals do like a Cubs convention type deal?
Yeah, they just had theirs. I think same weekend. So Cubs had theirs, Cardinals had their thing going on. And then they do Same thing, like there's a Cubs caravan, right? Where they go from town to town. Cardinals do the exact same thing. So, and that was all happening over the same weekend.
Okay, well, good. Yep. I mean,
I didn't go to it, but you know,
I'm not surprised.
I think I've had my fill of fan conventions.
Yeah, because I mean, when you were doing Sox Fest, those were pretty rough. Like those, they were waiting for Kenny. Like that was always like the best part of Sox Fest is that that Sox fans knew that they were going to get their pound of flesh with Kenny Williams, and they were outside like lined up raring to go.
And they are just not afraid to tell you how they feel, which I love. I actually totally love that. Because there are certain places you can go where people aren't willing to be upfront with you. You know, they'll be nice to your face, and then you turn around, and then they'll say some stuff about you. I love that people, and I think it's just Chicago in general. It's not really just the South Side, but people are willing to let you know where you stand, and I like that.
Well, what did you think of what Chris Bryant said, and what has been the reaction of folks in St. Louis from him saying that St. Louis is boring?
Well, I think everything is predictable. First of all, maybe he actually feels that way, and that's possible he does. I mean, he lives in a city he's from Las Vegas, which is like a, you know, there's so much going on in Vegas all the time, 24 hours a day. In Chicago, there's a lot going on all the time, not necessarily 24 hours a day, but there is a lot happening, and it's a big city. And in St. Louis, it's a lot lower key. I mean, you've been here, you know. It isn't quite as big, and there isn't as much action happening all the time. So number one, he probably does feel at least a little bit that way. Number two, he's at a fan convention, and I know it happens with Cardinals fans just as it does with Sox fans and Cubs fans. When you take time to crap on the rival in any possible way, the crowd eats it up. They love it.
Yep.
So what's he going to do? I mean, yeah, of course he's going to say that stuff. And you know what? It probably fired up however many hundred people were in that room. And that's what he's supposed to do. So I don't have any problem with him talking like that. If that's the way he feels about the city, then that's the way he feels about the city. I don't happen to think it's that bad, but it's, you know, I get it. I understand why he probably feels that way. He has not lived at all in his life anywhere like this. I mean, he's been, like I said, in Vegas, he's lived in Chicago. So it's just, those are very different cities.
I think that you're 100% right. It's like Mick Foley in WWE being like, "We're happy to be here tonight in Chicago, Illinois." And the crowd goes wild. It's a cheap crowd pop for Bryant to say something bad about the Cardinals.
Of course. And just like I've heard, and I've never been to a winter warm-up. That's what they call the Cardinals convention. I've never been to one, but I've heard that when they take, you know, when players take shots at the Cubs, that the crowd goes nuts. It's just, it's your rival. You're going to crap on them, and it makes people happy. I'm sure of it. Whatever the Bears convention is, I'm assuming you've been to that before.
Yep.
I'm sure they crap on the Packers whenever they get a chance, and everybody goes crazy for it. It's exactly what you're supposed to do. And the way I do feel about it, and even the response from Molina, which that's what he's going to do. He's going to defend the city. He's going to defend the team, and he's going to do it in a way that maybe goes beyond what people think he should do. But the end result of all of this is, at least for that first series, and it could extend the entire season, all of that stuff just got way more interesting. That first game, that first series, when the two teams play each other, things got a whole lot more interesting than they were going to be anyway. I mean, it's always a fun rivalry just because it's Cubs-Cardinals. But now, with all of that, kind of like it was in the – and maybe it won't be as heated as it was in the Dusty Baker-Tony La Russa era because those games were hot. I don't know if it's going to be quite that, but I'm very much looking forward – to seeing how things go down when Chris Bryant comes up for his first at bat and tries to do the shin guard tap on Molina. I'd like to see how that goes.
Yeah, it's weird also because like Chris is like the nicest guy ever. You know what I mean? Like it's not like he's a bag. Like he's like one of the good guys in the game, and I think he just went for a cheap crowd pop. And the fact that it's gotten these many legs, I agree with you that you could have predicted as soon as he said it that it was going to become a thing.
Yeah, we all talked about it on the show, and we pretty much had the same reaction to it. He's playing up to his crowd. What do you want him to do? And I know that everybody, and athletes in particular, celebrities, they have to be aware at all times that everybody has a camera on them. Everybody has a video recorder on them at all times. But still, when you're in the moment, when you're up there on the stage, all you see is a bunch of people, a few hundred people who are like-minded with you. They love you. They are there for you, and they all root for the same team, the one that you are on. You're going to play to that crowd. And it's not that he's completely unaware of the possibility that that video is going to get out and people are going to see it and maybe some Cardinals are going to have a reaction to it. But I can see where in the moment you're not thinking about that stuff. You know, you're just kind of, you know, you're there, you're on a stage. You feel like it's just you and everybody else in the room and nobody else. And it's not like anything he said is really that awful. He was just, I think, trying to stir the crowd up, and it worked.
Chris Ranji of, what's your station, ESPN 101? Is that
101 ESPN.
The fast lane?
That's right.
That thing that you do when you're number one all the time?
That's the one.
All right. Well, good. Well, we can dispense with all the niceties. Can we talk a little bit about baseball? Would you mind that?
I don't care.
Where's Bryce Harper going? And is St. Louis a possibility?
Dude, Beats, if either of those two end up here, I will be very surprised. I don't think they're making much of an effort to do it. I don't know if they – I'm sure that most teams did their diligence and they at least checked in on both of those free agents, Machado being the other one. But I don't really think the Cardinals were ever serious about the prospect. The way they talk, they feel like once they got Goldschmidt, they're set. They're good to go. They didn't have to do anything else. And I think a lot of people, they felt pretty good about that. But I remember the day it happened and they made the acquisition. As soon as we were on the air when we found out about it. So, you know, it was a great thing to talk about in the moment. And fairly quickly, I turned the conversation to, okay, they did this. Now let's get serious. Let's go get one of these other free agents. You didn't have to give up a ton to get this guy. He's only making $14.5 million for one season. You only have him for that one season. Now, you know what? You've got a couple of other teams in the division that are pretty good. The Cubs are really good. The Brewers, I'm not exactly sure what they'll be, but I think they're still pretty good.
The Reds have made some significant moves.
The Reds got better.
And the Pirates were a 500 team.
Yeah, they're not exactly. So there's not going to be an easy out in the division at all. So you know what? Try to separate yourselves or however you want to look at them, whether they're trying to separate themselves or close the gap between them and the Cubs. Do whatever you can do. And at the time, we didn't know, and I guess we still don't know, how much either of those free agents is going to go for, whether it's going to be $200 million or under that $200 mil. I don't know. But if it ends up being like that and the Cardinals, and actually there are a lot of teams that you could say this about, if the Cardinals didn't get serious about trying to sign one of them, I think that's kind of inexcusable, to be honest. And I know they want to extend Goldschmidt, and they're talking like they're going to make that attempt to do it in the middle of the season. And if they do, that's great. But the difference between Paul Goldschmidt and Harper and or Machado is those other two guys are 5 years younger. And if you sign them for 8, 9, or 10 years, you're getting them for ages 26, 27 through 31 and then some. So you're getting them in their primes. And to me, and I know a lot of other Cardinals fans feel exactly the same way, and I don't think it's I don't think it's being greedy. I just think it's trying to get better in the division and knowing you've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. a lot of people here wanted them to go harder this off season, and they haven't done it. And I kind of feel like what they have now is what they're going to be. I don't think they're going to do anything else.
Well, that being said, Paul Goldschmidt being with the Cardinals, I think, is significant. I think he's a really good player that makes this division even more interesting than it would have been before he joined them.
There isn't any question about it. And he's good against all the teams in the division. And I know that none of the other teams want him to be in this division. So, yes, he does make things a whole lot more interesting. But, again, and, you know, everything might work out very well for them this year. I don't know what Marcell Ozuna is going to be. He may or may not be healthy by the time the season starts. He had the shoulder surgery during the offseason. Who really knows about Dexter? He was really bad last year. And he was pretty productive the year before. If he can go back to that, if he can be the 2017 Fowler, they've got a good amount of production in right field. But we don't really know what he's going to be. He seems to be more comfortable now that the whole Matheny thing is over. So hopefully that and hopefully he's healthy too. So hopefully both of those things work in his favor and he has a productive year again. They could be a pretty good team, but the feeling locally was, you know what? You, as an organization, you make a lot of money. You have the ballpark village, which you profit off of. You have, and I believe they have the second best attendance per game in baseball. They do very well. They get the paid attendance, that is. And they've got a pretty good TV deal. So people want them to spend the money. And, I think they could have done a little bit more during the offseason. They had a good offseason, but I think they could have done a little bit better.
What do you make of the fact that Harper and Machado aren't signed yet?
I don't know if it's that they've gotten offers, but they're not anything near like what they expected. And they do expect that eventually some team is going to cave in and give them close to what they want. But I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. And now with the Pollock deal in Los Angeles, the Dodgers are off the board. So that's not going to happen for Bryce Harper. That's one less team that's interested. The Phillies talked about a month and a half ago about spending stupid money. And I think that's exactly the term they used. We're going to be stupid and spending money. Well, they haven't done it yet. So I don't know how choosy the two of them can be. At this point, I'm not really sure. This is going to be really fascinating to find out where they end up. And obviously the White Sox are somewhat serious about it. You don't acquire two people really close to Machado without the intent of trying to really lure him into your organization. So I don't know what to make of the fact that you have the teams that we know are interested, but nothing has happened yet. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if there is, in fact, really a mystery team, and they're still trying to pit one another against, each team against one another. Maybe that's what's still happening. I don't know how nervous those two guys are, but if they get anything close to that $350, $400 million we thought was going to happen, I would be surprised at this point.
Should fans now start to look at this and be worried that if we all thought, if the conventional wisdom was that Harper and Machado were going to be close to $300 million or maybe over $300 million, and those guys aren't getting it, and we've seen a bunch of other, and you talked about the Pollock deal and a couple other deals out there that have been less money than we expected, are we headed towards a work stoppage in baseball? Because it feels like there's a bit of collusion that might be going on.
I started talking about this last offseason. Well, I mean, as soon as the end of last offseason, and I said, I hope next year is not like this, even with those two big free agents, because, if it continues down this path, eventually when the CBA expires, what do you think the players are going to do? They are not – and I still to this day, Lawrence, do not understand. And I think a lot of fans are smarter about it than they used to be because there's more knowledge about payroll and revenue and how well teams are doing. But for the life of me, I cannot understand how people side with ownership almost, I don't want to say it's 100% of the time, but it seems like a lot that they're siding with the owners over the players. Because here's what I think people believe, and I talk about this a lot. I think people believe that if player salaries come down, ticket prices are going to come down. so that teams are not paying their players anymore or as much as they used to. So they're saving money on payroll, which means they're going to pass the savings on to you as a fan. So ticket prices are going to be cheaper. Concessions and parking and all that stuff is going to be cheaper. Well, guess what? That is not going to ever happen, ever. All that will happen is the players will make less of the revenue that comes into Major League Baseball, and the teams are going to keep more of it. And they're going to keep charging you what they charge you because the tickets are getting sold. The only way people, teams will bring down ticket prices is if you stop showing up. That's the only way they're going to do that. So what has to happen here is both sides need to figure it out. And really, and I know it's not going to happen, and this is why I think we're headed toward that work stoppage, because I just don't think the owners are going to give in. But what really needs to happen is owners need to understand that players need to make about half of the revenue that's coming in. It doesn't have to be exactly half, but it needs to be pretty close, because players are making a smaller percentage of the pie than they used to. And that is a problem, and players notice it. And I know you probably talked about Jake Arrieta's comments saying, hey, young guys, take notice. Look what's happening, because this is going to be you someday.
Well, I mean, you can look at what happened with Chris Bryant. Like, it was when the Cubs decided, for baseball reasons and smart baseball reasons, to keep him down when he was clearly ready to come up. I mean, those types of things, like I wouldn't be shocked if Chris Bryant didn't end his career as a Cub. Like, when he's able to be a free agent, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he moved on from this place.
He filed a grievance.
Yes.
So, I'm sure if you look at the text line right now, you've got a bunch of people, oh, screw these millionaires. Like, hey, look, if you like baseball and you want it to keep going and you don't want there to be a strike, you better care. And no, I don't feel sorry for major league ball players. I don't feel sorry for guys who do this as a living and make very good money to do it. Even when you're poorly paid, as major leaguers go, you still make very good money. So I don't feel sorrow for them. You know, they're going to be fine. Their families are going to be fine. However, they do something that we can't do. They are really good at playing a sport that people want to pay to watch, and people want to invest their time and their money to watch them do it. And they should be compensated for it, because where they work is making a lot of money because of what they're capable of doing, and they deserve close to half of it. I'm sorry, but they do. They deserve that much. So that better get figured out, or we're going to miss some time. And I don't know how much time that would be, and I don't know how willing people would be to come back from it. We saw what happened the last time there was a strike, and how much people resented baseball, resented players. I don't know what happens this time around, but I think it's going to be something similar. And I don't think baseball wants to kill the momentum it's built up over the last 20 years. So both sides need to figure this out, and really most of it needs to be, and I'm not sure they see it this way, but most of it needs to be on the teams. They are the ones that are going to have to concede, otherwise we're going to have a work stoppage. But I bet you this much, Lawrence, I bet they're totally willing to do it.
How should White Sox fans feel about the rebuild?
I still think you should feel pretty good about it. I mean, it's still ongoing. You know, I don't know how people feel now, and I'm not there to hear the reactions from fans anymore. Are they impatient? Are they starting to get impatient?
No, it's just it's kind of a weird thing, because I think that for the most part, White Sox fans had truly bought in on this idea of a rebuild. But now it's like, oh, wait, we might get Manny Machado. I think that there is some danger of, if the White Sox don't get Manny Machado, of White Sox fans being going, wait a minute, you guys told us that you were in a position to get Manny Machado, and if you didn't do everything you did you could to get him, doesn't that mean that this might be that was a wasted opportunity? So I just know that from some of the White Sox fans that I've talked to over the last few weeks, it was very, like, everyone was very excited about the White Sox are in on Harper and they're in on Machado. And things have quieted off quite a bit. Now, and we talked about why overall that might be the case. But I feel like they need to walk away with Machado for people to fully go, okay, they're on the right track, even though they're probably on the right track even without him.
Well, first of all, there are about a dozen or so teams that if they didn't make a serious, and I mean a real, true, serious offer to either one of those free agents, that's negligence. Because the money is there, and a lot of teams could afford both of them. And even if you're not ready to win this season or next, worst case scenario, then maybe you're ready in three seasons. Well, both of them are going to be still on the right side of 30, so in their primes. So you should be after them if you think you're going to be good anytime soon. Even if you think it's going to take you a couple of years and you're an organization, you should be after them. But based on what the team has already done, and I mentioned the Alonzo acquisition and John Jay, and him being close with both of them, that indicates to me they were trying to put something together serious to get him in. If it doesn't happen for the White Sox, and I do think that a number of teams could say this exact same thing, I think that's incredibly disappointing for them because they've sat through a lot. They have, I think they've gone through a lot as a fan base. There have been a lot of really lousy seasons. They got rewarded with the World Series 14 years ago, which is great, but one playoff appearance and one playoff win since then, that's no good. And I think that, honestly, they're deserving of that. So if the Sox have gone that far as to acquire two other players that are close with him to make him more comfortable, from their perspective, they should go even harder. And they should make sure it gets done, quite frankly. If they have any real interest in having him and they are still in the rebuilding process and think they're going to be good within the next couple of years, there's no reason they shouldn't be able to lock that up. Because whether or not, I don't know exactly what Machado wants. I don't know if he wants to play in a big market. It sounded like his wife wanted him to play in New York, which indicates she would like to be in a big city. Well, Chicago's a big city. It's the third biggest in the country. So get it done. And I feel like they should get way more uncomfortable than they ever have been in the past. And I know that you've probably highlighted it 1,000 times. The largest deal they've ever signed was the Abreu deal. Well, if there's ever going to be a time where you go above and beyond that, mm-hmm. and much bigger than you ever have, this is the time to do it. Do it right now. This is and this goes for a lot of teams, but it goes for the White Sox too. This is a very unusual point in baseball history where you have two free agents who are very young, who are probably going to be good for the next 7, 8 to 10 years, and they're probably going to both end up making a whole lot less than you thought they were going to make. So this is a very unique opportunity, and teams should be jumping on this. And there are a handful that would be total negligence if they don't make it happen. Somebody's going to lose. In fact, there are a lot of teams that are going to lose here. But there are a handful of teams that should be going all out to make sure one of those deals happen.
Ranger, I appreciate the time. You're a good man and thorough, and I hope to see you soon.
Man, I keep hearing that a lot.
You're the worst.
Come on. You love me. I love you. How's Herb doing?
He's all right.
Hey, tell Herb I don't want to hear any more crapping on St. Louis. That guy's from Wheaton.
It's a good point.
Yeah, what are they doing in Wheaton right now? Sleeping?
I think he might, like, you know, things are moving in a good direction for Herb.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll text you. I got some thoughts.
Oh, I got my own thoughts. And one of my thoughts is, man, somebody's in charge and it ain't him.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing though, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess kind of, because he's kind of a lot to deal with.
A whole lot.
So if somebody's able to deal with that guy, then yeah, might want to hang on to him, her.
Yeah, yeah. Or him, whatever floats your boat.
If anybody can deal with Herb for more than like 15 minutes a day, then you hang on to that person.
Agreed. Ranger, I'll talk to you soon.
And take care of Tony Gill too. I worry about him.
You should. He's got terrible takes.
Oh my God. I thought Herb had some bad takes, but at least Herb half the time has some great ones. Tony.
Right. He's 100% right or 100% wrong.
Correct. And Fish is mental. There's something wrong with him.
Your new nickname is now Fish. All right, that's great. That's Chris Ronji. We're way late, but it was totally worth it. Back after this on The Score.
Damn, 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 damn.
Glad that you are hanging out here with me. I am Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, I'm going to bring you some Dion Miller. She was in here earlier, and we recorded an episode of House of L, which is my podcast that I do independently of the radio show, which is really good. By the way, Tony Andracki is the guest this week. You should really listen to the episode. He told a very funny locker room story that honestly is a locker room nightmare. Eli, you should definitely listen to it because you're in locker rooms a lot now, and at some point, something like this is going to happen. So if you search House of L on Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, or iTunes, you will find it. If you would subscribe and give it 5 stars, that would be awesome. It would help out. If you listen, that would be great. And there's a lot of episodes to listen to. Did an episode with Herb. Did an episode with Sarah Spain. Did an episode with Kelly Kroll. Did an episode with Barry Rosner. The Joe Ostrowski one. Joe Ostrowski one. Man. A little over a week. So I think I posted that on Tuesday night. Already 3,000 downloads on it. Like 1,500 in a week is what I consider good. And Joe doubled that. So it's a really good conversation. We had a good time. Anyway, if you're in the car and you like podcasts, you should check out mine, House of L. And Dion Miller was in here. We were recording House of L, and there was a lot of cool stuff that she said that I thought was relevant. It's weird. Mitch has been pretty cool about like it working both ways, where like if there's something good on The Score that I want to put on House of L, like he's been okay with it. And if there's something that I do on House of L that's good, I can put it on The Score. And my sit down with Dion Miller is pretty good. So I'm going to let you hear a few minutes of that coming up at 9 o'clock. I need to take another break because Ronji ate up a bunch of time with his wacky opinions and jokes about Herb. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that he said, because I too worry about a work stoppage in baseball. And I think that you should be paying close attention to where the dollars, where the conversation started, and where we're at with the dollars now when it comes to Harper and Machado. That's next here on The Score.
We feel like as a union and as ball players and staff and everybody involved, we're definitely, we got it. And we have good people in front of us, and we have people that are protecting us every single day. But no question about it, I think the industry is definitely on the upscale of gains, and we should be rewarded for that as well.
New White Sox Yonder Alonso talking about free agency and how there's been that the players have noticed that the money that people think they're going to get when they hit free agency isn't the money that those players are getting. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. We'll talk with Dion Miller coming up a little bit after 9. We'll talk with Nick Szepkowski tonight around 9:45 because he'll be on tonight and then tomorrow. Afternoon drive, eh? That'll be interesting. A lot of Notre Dame talk tomorrow, I'm guessing. And random sports facts as well. By the way, before I get to the serious baseball points, can I just say, I saw the video of Yonder Alonso calling season ticket people today. And people asking him about Manny Machado. It was pretty funny. The White Sox put it out on their Twitter. I thought that was hilarious. Except I'm a season ticket holder. And I ain't getting no call from no White Sox. The business office called me like back in December like 100 times. Like, are you going to renew? Are you going to renew? Are you going to renew? Yes, I'm going to renew. But you know what I am expecting for next year? For 2020? I better get a call from Don Cooper, because I saw that Don Cooper was calling people today, too. If the White Sox want my money again, it can't be Marissa or anyone else over there that does a great job selling me tickets. I better get somebody. It better be Coop or Kenny. Like, that would be ideal. Hello, Lawrence. It's Kenny Williams. Are you going to renew? And it'd be great. And then we'd probably like MF each other on the phone. And then I re-up my tickets. But yeah, enough of this people from the business office calling me when you got Yonder Alonso and Don Cooper calling folks about season tickets. There, I've said it. Now onto the serious stuff. Back when everyone and their mother was like, why isn't Chris Bryant up with the Cubs? And Barry Rosner was like, seven is more than six. And we all know that from a baseball standpoint, the Cubs did the right thing. You want more years of control with players who you think are going to be great. And Bryant is great. MVP. From rookie of the year to MVP, 0 to 100 real quick with Chris Bryant. But you may have forgotten that Chris Bryant was not happy about any of that nonsense. And he's a super nice guy. He's an absolute sweetheart. So he wasn't going to cause a ruckus. But I do think that players are paying attention to the revenue that they think they should be getting versus the revenue that they are getting. Let's talk about the numbers that were out there for Machado and Harper before this whole thing started. And hey, I guess it's possible that those numbers could still exist. What was the number we were hearing for Bryce Harper? $300 million. You had some people going, maybe $400 million. Now, that could go to my greater point of perhaps baseball people are misinformed, that baseball Twitter is misinformed, and that reporters take stuff that agents tell them and run with it without squaring it from the other side, where you may have an agent whispering in your ear, yeah, my guy is going to, they're going to be a ton of suitors for my guy. He's going to get $300 million because there are going to be so many suitors. And then it goes out there and it's part of the zeitgeist now. And we're like, why isn't Bryce Harper got his $300 million yet? Why is Manny Machado still out there? Free agency is getting later and later. Later and later and later and later. I mean, let's be real. That's when you get to the fan festivals, that's like a 2-week warning before pitchers and catchers report. And it's, you don't know. Like, the White Sox don't know what their team looks like. Like, they don't know getting ready for their trip to Glendale. They have no idea. It's a much different story. Herb was brought this up during the break. Who's the White Sox fifth starter? My answer to that question is I don't care, because you can find a fifth starter. But I understood the overall point, which is if you don't have Manny Machado, the way that you're going to team build looks different than if you don't have Manny Machado. It allows you to spend money in other places that maybe you wouldn't have if Machado ends up on your team. Or it could be the other way. You get Manny Machado and say, what was the name you threw out? Dallas Keuchel? You didn't throw some money at Dallas Keuchel. And that it changes things. I think that we're not quite there yet. But I think that if Bryce Harper and Manny Machado don't get the type of money that they were expecting, all the rest of the guys in the union are going to be like, well, wait a minute. If it can happen to those dudes, what kind of money are they going to give me? You're seeing dudes get ridiculous. Who was it that got screwed last year? It wasn't Hosmer.
JD Martinez.
No, well, he did too.
Oh, Moustakas.
Mike Moustakas, right? Like, he didn't sign the tender, and the tender would have been like $16 million, and then he ended up playing for $5 million. I think that the MLB Players Association is one of the strongest unions in America. And I'm kind of looking forward to, it won't be like the NFL. The NFL Players Association, because there is a lack of guaranteed contracts, it is harder to unify those guys, which is why they always fold. Those guys get paid during the season. They get 17 checks. And you have to be responsible and understand that those 17 weeks that you get paid have to stretch out, and you have to live off of that for 52 weeks and not the 20 of the season. And they always cave, and they caved the last time, even though their player representatives were like, yo. And I was in those locker rooms in 2009. In 2009, 2 years before, player reps were telling players, save your money, we're going to war. And a lot of them didn't. And some of them didn't care. And some of them were like, I just want to play football. The Major League Baseball Players Association is more unified. And it's easier for them to have a work stoppage because those guys had guaranteed money. And so they have ideally been saving their money. They've had more money to save, too. Out to Stu, who's calling us from O'Hare. Hello, Stu. You're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. Love the show.
Thanks.
I think one of the things people need to think about is Bryce Harper got – Washington offered him $300 million.
We think.
Okay, fair enough. But one of the things that's always said about these long-term contracts is, oh, you got – the last 2 years is going to be bad money. The last 2 years is going to be bad money. Lester, everybody's been happy with him because of how he's performed. But then you look at Pujols, and that was a 10-year deal that went bad after like 3 years. So get them the money, but, you know, the shorter term, like 5 years or 6 years, but 10 years, you don't know what's going to happen in 10 years.
Yeah,
you don't really
know
what's going to happen in five.
But there's some differences here. One, Lester's a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt that long-term deals for pitchers are silly. Two, the machine was kind of old when he got his 10-year deal.
Yes, he was.
So
he was on the down slope already.
Yeah. So, and Machado and Harper are 26.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make more sense for them to get a 10-year deal. Now, I've always felt, Stu, that both of those guys should not want 10-year deals unless they have significant opt-outs in them at like 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then if you're Bryce Harper and you're still this player when you're 32 years old, you get another bite at the apple.
Right.
That's how I would look at it if I were them.
Yeah. If you want to give me a 10-year, I'll take a 10-year deal, but give me a 4-year opt-out when I'm still, what, 28?
29, 30, yeah. And,
okay. Yeah.
And I can really know how committed your organization is to winning.
Right.
I appreciate the phone call, Stu. It's just something to pay attention to. Straight up, Paula Abdul. This hour is brought to you by Oak Brook Toyota in Westmont. When searching for a new Toyota, search for oakbrooktoyota.com. We're going to take a break. I had a great conversation with Dion Miller from ABC7 about the Cubs, covering the Cubs, the Bears, and the White Sox. I think you'll want to hear it. It's coming up next here on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.